Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 16. The next evening when Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene and Salome and Mary the mother of James went out and purchased burial spices put on Jesus' body. Very early, on what day of the week? First day of the week, on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they came to the tomb. On the way, they were discussing who would roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb. But when they arrived and they looked up and saw that the stone, a very large one, had already been rolled aside. So they entered the tomb, and there on the right side sat a young man clothed in a white robe. The women were startled, but the angel said, "Do not be so surprised. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead." Hallelujah. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and give this message to his disciples, including Peter. Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died. Women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, saying nothing to anyone because they were too frightened to talk. It was early on Sunday morning when Jesus rose from the dead. The first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and found the disciples who were grieving and weeping. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and she had seen them, they didn't believe her. But afterward, he appeared to two who were walking from Jerusalem into the country, but they didn't recognize him at first because he had changed his appearance. When they realized who he was, they rushed back to tell the others, but no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their unbelief, their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And then he told them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak with new languages. They will be able to handle snakes." Good snakes. Snake is a dead snake to me. They were not snake handlers for the pleasure of the snake. My application of this scripture is to Paul, shipwrecked on an island, carrying wood to the fire, and a serpent strikes him and everybody waits for him to die. But instead of the man of God dying, he shook the snake off in the fire and the snake died. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hand on the sick and heal them. And when the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples, they did something. What did they do? They went, say it, everywhere. They went everywhere and preached. And the Lord did what? He worked with them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. Amen. Next scripture I'm going to take you to is Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We're just going to look at a couple verses there, 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one who died. But look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave." I am alive ever and ever. Amen. As I was preparing in prayer for this morning, the Father dropped into my heart the thoughts from Revelation, two of the churches that received a letter. And I thought upon that, prayed over that the last few days, and I can only just share a little bit of what the Father put on my heart. First of all, we're going to look at the church that is in chapter 2, and we're going to see that this church, this letter, is to the angel of the church in Ephesus. And so I want you to drop down to verse 3. "You have patiently suffered for me without quitting." That's compliment, right? Amen. This is a letter to one of the end time church. "But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen from your first love. Turn back to me again and work as you did at first. If you don't, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the church." We know this passage because it addresses the aspect of losing that first love. And then we see in another letter that is given to the church at Sardis. This is chapter 3. And in this letter, in verse 3, the admonition is, "Go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold on to it firmly and turn to me again, unless you do, 2, I will come upon you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. Two different letters to churches. One says you have lost your first love. The second says you need to go back to what you originally knew and understood, and you need to act upon that and live by that again. As I was looking at this passage and I was thinking about the resurrection and what a joyful time of year this is, and I was going through a bunch of emails the other day, and I came across one that was put together by the staff of PNW. I'm not sure who all they are. I get mail from them. But in this article, it addressed Easter crowd coming. But America's Christian worldview is collapsing, and it shares some things that are very positive. It's expected this day, this morning, and today, that there may be more people in church than there have been in a very long time. And so there are a lot of things that impact that, a lot of things that God is using, I believe, to stir up the hearts of our nation to return to God and to come to God. In fact, some questions, recent polls in 2026, I believe it was a poll that Barna was doing, found that 2/3 of all the adults in the United States believe in the resurrection. Is that awesome? 2/3, that's a pretty high number. And for people who attend church at least once or twice a month, that percentage goes up into the 90 that believe in the resurrection. And so that is great news. That means at a time when our nation is going through war and a lot of attack from the enemy, at the same time, God is stirring the heart of man within our nation. And yet at the same time, while there is a very high percentage of our nation that believe in the miraculous resurrection of Christ, as awesome as that is, this poll also found that only 4% of Americans understand what the Word of God says about a biblical worldview. And so we're living in a day when God is stirring our hearts. There's a call. Millions are saying, yes, I believe that Jesus rose from dead. And they're going to be in church today on Sunday. But this is what the poll shows, that most do not live Monday through Saturday as if Jesus rose from the dead. That most religious people in America live almost exactly like those who do not profess faith. Well, that means that God has a work to do in the church, doesn't it? Doesn't mean there's a desperate, unsolvable problem. It means that we need the resurrection and the power of God, and we need Pentecost, and we need the presence of God returned to the house of God. And certainly in that kind of a way, as a nation, we can come back God. In this article, sort of the consensus of what they had to say was America has not rejected Christ. America has not rejected Christianity, but it has done something with it that might in some ways be more dangerous. It's eluded Christianity and accepted much less than what Jesus gave his life to provide for us. The early days when I came around Pentecostal people, I thought these people are nuts. And if you remember some of the early Maranatha music, so much of it was high praise. It was awesome. In fact, I dig some out of the files and we play some on the radio station. During the 70s, during the charismatic renewal, there was such a strong emphasis on praise. Not that worship wasn't there, but there was just high praise during those days. And I enjoyed that. My wife and I, she sort of pulled me into an Assembly of God church. And I looked around. I didn't know the music. I didn't know the people. They were very energetic and enthusiastic. I remember thinking, this would be a good place for your health because it's sort of like a gymnasium. Everybody was jumping and celebrating. And someone, I don't know why, but wherever we sat, we tried to sit in a place. But there was one lady who would always show up next to us. And she was a dancer. I mean, maybe in her career, I'm not sure. But she would always be flopping her hand in my face. And I'm like, I need a place to hide here. But there was such an excitement in those days as drug dealers were coming to the Lord. And there were so many that were addicted, so many that were coming in from the bars, the taverns. And I remember those days where God was just pulling people, not so much because doors were knocked on, but because hearts were knocked on by God. And I remember looking around on Sunday morning saying, I may not understand what all is going on in this order of service, very different from what I grew up with, but I know that God is. My prayer this morning as I was thinking about coming together with you this morning is that you would not leave without knowing that God is with His people in this resurrection. That we do not celebrate a religious life or lifestyle, but we celebrate life that is eternal life, that is inside of us, that is real. And as Ralph Olson told me in the last days of his life, he said, Pastor, make sure you often remind the people that God is for real and Jesus is for real and the Holy Spirit is for real. And I stood there with him that day as he was sharing this with me, a man who stormed the beaches of Normandy and had laying by his bed a book about that war and how God had protected him and brought him back. And he said, for so many years, I relived all those memories, but he said, one thing I failed to celebrate as I realized really should have is the relationship and the power and the presence of God in my own life. And he said, please tell the people God is for real. If you don't know him as your real and personal Savior, then please make sure that you make a choice today to welcome him into your life. We have many that will join us on Livestream Day, and I want to welcome you and thank you for joining us and being a part of the service this morning. There's a couple other scriptures I want to take you to. I want to take you to Romans chapter 6. I'm not going to keep you a long time this morning. So in Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 8 and 9. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. For years, we had a head usher who was an Italian guy. Italians in the house? That will admit it. Joe Torre. How many remember? There's an Italian. How many remember Joe Torre? Joe Torre. What a precious man of God, right? Joe Torre, he was forever, if he just had a checkbook back up his desires, he was forever doubling everybody's salary. You know, the ushers, musicians, the children's workers, even me. He said, I'm going to double your salary today, Pastor. He was always doubling our salaries. And the only thing with that, I know that's part of my retirement plan. It's not necessarily a part of the plan here, but Joe is a precious man of God. But I know Bob remembers this, and if you knew Joe Torre at all, you would remember Joe used to say something. He used to say that we have a wonderful salvation. It's so full and free, full and free. As I was looking at resurrection hymns this season, I came across, that comes right out of one of the resurrection hymns, the celebration that the relationship we have with Christ is so awesome, and it's so free, and it's such a great gift that we have. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. And since we died with Christ, you know you died with Christ? What died with Christ? Old man, sin, right? All the BC before Christ, days of your life and my life died with Christ. They were put to death. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also share what? His new life. What kind of life? Resurrected life. Since we died with Christ, we will experience, we will know his resurrected life. Since we died with him, we know we will also share his new life. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead. How important is the resurrection? The resurrection separates Christianity from every other religion in the world. There is no other religion that can say the graveyard is empty. The grave is empty. But we as Christians. And there's something else that no other religion can say. We can say this morning, the blind man didn't know how he could see. Or even who set him free initially. But he said, I once was blind and now I can see. There's no other religion in all of the world ever, ever, ever that has been able to change the heart of a man or a woman who desperately is lost and needs to be found. But the relationship we have through Jesus Christ. This is made available. Yes, that's a hallelujah. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also share his new life. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Verse 10, he died once to defeat sin and now he lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourselves what? Dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Jesus Christ. That's who I am. I don't know if put your name in scriptures, but I do. In looking at this passage and in looking at where we started, there are some in the church we know that are lukewarm, and some are in the church that have never been born again. I had a lady call me one day in the office, and she told me her church and said, my children said they can't come and stay at my house. I said, well, why is that? Well, they said, I'm not born again. I'm not sure why her kids wouldn't go to her house. I didn't understand any of that, because if I am invited to go to somebody's house, even if they're not born again, I'd like to go and be able to share with them. They might be like a sonny that's ready to come to Christ, right? But this lady, she said, I don't know what that word means. I said, well, would you please go with me to John chapter 3? And we read the story of Nicodemus, and Nicodemus being a leader of the Jews and supposedly having the knowledge of the scriptures, did not understand being born again. So I shared with her that passage, and she said, well, I confessed I was a sinner. I asked Jesus to come into my life. I've done that. And I believe Jesus lives in me. I said, well, then you are born again. Call your kids and tell your kids, I'm born again. Get down here. And said, boy, I just didn't know what that word. Sometimes we use language in the church that nobody else may understand. And so we may need to clarify that. But I would say to those, and I know the Holy Spirit put that on my heart, to open the morning sort of with that scripture. That scripture that dealt with the aspect of our first love. Because some of us have been in church a lot of years. God was even speaking into my life about this. The power of the resurrection is what brings us into the kingdom of God. So if your sins are forgiven, you've already experienced a taste of the resurrection power, because it takes that which is dead and gives life. But as I was in prayer about this, and God was just kind of running through things in my own life, these were some questions that the Holy Spirit just laid on me. And they were personal questions, and they were questions that I believe God would have me share with you. God asked me the question, do you love me as you did at first? Do you love me as you did at first? There was only one aspect of that really came to mind, and my wife and I are going to celebrate 48 years shortly. And I know some of you are way ahead of us in regards to marriage. But I remember the first time I saw Rachel, she was walking into a large gathering of believers. And I saw this girl come walking down the aisle, and I'm like, man, I've got to get acquainted with her. I'm not sure that there was anything spiritual about my interest when I first saw her. I'll just confess that. But as we began to build a friendship, we were in school together. Day would come when we would call ourselves best friends. And then a day would come when we would be on a class trip, and we would both talk about the day would come when we would return to Washington and we would be husband and wife that time. That was long before we were married. There was something in those days that would sort of trouble me in my relationship from my heart with Rachel, and I don't know that I've ever shared. But as God was asking me about my love for Him and where I am and how fervent, how passionate, how real that is in my life today compared with those initial days when I first came into the kingdom of God, I was reminded of this concern that I had in my relationship with Rachel. What if she knew me as I know him? Would you love me? Now, maybe none of you ever asked yourself that question, or maybe you never even considered that thought, but that was a thought that I had. And it was a thought that may in part have been birthed because of the attack of the devil in my own life. And the attack of the devil in my life went something like this. From the first night that I was born again, the next morning, I'm out sharing my faith with a bunch of friends. They started mocking me, making fun of me. I got mad. I cussed them out. It wasn't a great beginning to my Christian walk. And Satan just affirmed to me something that he'd said many, many times, you're not cut out for this Christian life. You don't have what it takes. You're never going to be able to line up. You're never going to be able to do all the things you have to do. And I remember sitting so many times in the office of the president of the school, the Christian school I was in. They all wanted to throw me out except President Heron. Sitting in his office, he would say, Jonathan, you're still in school for one reason. I stood up in your defense. He said, everyone else said, throw him out. He's a rotten apple. He's a black sheep. Get rid of it. But he said, Jonathan, one day is going to come when you're going to bow your knee to the Lord. But I would sit there in Dr. Heron's office, and I would think in those days before I surrendered to Christ, I would think, I can't do this. Impossible. And so when the day came when God tapped on my heart and drew me to him, and that night, 15 years old, changed my life forever, eternity for me. That night, the love of God was profound, and God reminded me that night of all the different times he had worked in my life. But still after that, do you know, the enemy would continue to say to me, McLean, you're not cut out for this. Look at your tongue. You have a real problem with your tongue. You like tell people what to think. You have a problem with anger. You have a problem with relationship. You have a problem with judging. You have a problem with forgiving. You have a problem with lust. You have a lot of problems, Jonathan. There's no way this is going to work for you. And the enemy was trying to get me to think that because God knew me so well, that God didn't love me so much. But the lie, that is a lie. That was the lie. The truth is, because God knows me so much, he knows that his love and his grace and his mercy is greater than the greatest of all the sin that could ever have been in my life or in anyone else's life. And that very thing, sometimes someone will say, Jonathan, you're too transparent. You're too open. You'll talk too freely about things in your life. Shouldn't talk about things like that in public. But I have to talk about things like that because I found the one who knows me best, loves me most. And I love that song that the Gaithers did, and the song just says that. I can love because I'm loved. I can love you because the one who knows me best loves me most. And so that was one of the questions that the Father just ran by me again. Don't forget how much I love. And there's a scripture that says something about love. Love covered. A what? Multitude of sin. How is your love, Jonathan? Jonathan, do you follow me as you did at first with passion and desire? Do you seek me out as you did at first? Do you serve me as you did in those early days? Do you give to me as you did in the early days? Do you tell others about me as you did in the early days? Do you worship me as you did in the early days? Do you believe my word and stand on my word as you did in the early days? And as I looked at that and I opened my heart up before God, and I think it's good for all of us on occasion to just do that, just open our heart up. And I began to look at those things. I began to say, by the grace of God, I love you more than I ever did, and I receive your love more than I ever. I could look at every one of these things. Father, I'm following you with a deeper understanding and a deeper passion today than ever before in all of my life. And Father, I seek you and find such pleasure in spending time in your presence now that it far exceeds any other season that I've ever gone through. I remember those early days when I set the alarm and I got up, and it was just like, I have to do this. This is what Christians do. And I would get up at 5 o'clock, and I would read my chapters, and I would spend my time in the Word. But now it's not like that. It's not that I don't get up. I get up, but it's different now. I never get up because it's a requirement. I get up because I can't wait to be back in the presence of God again. And I want to encourage you, if you're somewhere in that journey where it's still a beginning and it's work and it's a chore and it's difficult for you to have time with God, I want to encourage you that the day will come when an hour will pass and you'll say, where did the time go? And 2 hours will pass and you will say, where did the time go? And you will find as you walk with the Lord that it will be automatic that you will grow in these things in your life. And I believe this is resurrection power. Yes, I look forward to telling others every way I can about Him. I look forward to worshiping the Lord. The other day I just cranked the stereo up in the car and I'm listening to a song that was ministering to me. The warmth of the Holy Spirit just filled the car and we used to call them goosebumps, on top of goosebumps, and I was just worshiping the Lord and I was enjoying His presence and I was saying, God, this is so awesome. Music is important. The songs are important. This is great. And the Father reminded me when I was in my first car, my 1963 Bel Air Chevy, and I put a stereo in it, and in those days we had 8-track tape. I know, none of you young people, you're going to have to go to a museum to even know what they are. But I had 8-track tapes, and I remember finding a place in a park where no one was around, plugging those tapes in, and just leaning back in the seat, and hanging out with God. And God said, here you are, you're 6, 9 years old. Now you love it even more than you ever did at that time. And I'm still with you, and I'm not finished with you. And I'm confirming my presence and my power and my anointing in your life. And I want you to know that I am still here with you. And I could spend more time on it, but I won't. But when you think about that first love, what God did in your life, I'll tell you, I don't move as fast as I did in those days. Anybody who knows me knows that I say something else. I also do not make as many stupid decisions as I made in those days. I may have ran faster, I may have jumped higher, I may have shouted louder, but today there is a deep foundation in my life because of the walk with God. And some of you are saints of God. You have journeyed with God. You've been through the valleys. You've been on the mountain. And you have found that you can celebrate regardless of whether everything looks perfect and sunny and bright or whether all hell is breaking loose. My wife and I often will say this to each other. When it looks like everything's upside down, we'll say, God is on the move again. God is on the move again. Anytime things have gotten quiet in our life or quiet around the church, I start saying, Father, are we no longer on the front line? If you're on the front line, you're going to get shot at. You're going to have a lot of opposition. You're going to deal with a lot of stuff. But something happened as you walk with God. You become more and more battle prepared to where you are not shaken by the storms when they come. You know that God is in charge of the storm. And even if He takes you home, that's a win-win, so you have nothing to be concerned with. The Romans 6:8-10, pretty good passage scripture. I was reminded of a lady who was in our church for a good period of time. Her name was Joyce. And actually, I want to just say that it's awesome to have Rick with us this morning. And I was thinking of our dear Jody, now with Lord, that last resurrection, she was at a sunrise service, the Hope Sound Beat. And that's where we had her little service there at that beat. And I was thinking how joyful she was to be able to celebrate sun coming up, but that the Son of God has risen well. I was thinking about Jim Wilson, a dear friend recently. Amy, Marcy family lost this. I was thinking about Amy, and I was thinking about Jim, and I was conscious of the fact that even though there's loss for a moment, there's strength of God in all of these aspects of the journey. But when Joyce was in the hospital, Jim was there. Joyce is close to going to heaven, and she's talking to her husband, and she's talking to me. And she says to me, Pastor, would you help my husband understand? Joyce, what am I supposed to help him understand? If any of you know Jim, he's a big guy. I used to be a big guy. Military guy. Kind of guy that says, don't tap me on the shoulder because I might flinch. You know, one of those guys that did a bunch of stuff in service. And I'd always say to Jim, I'm glad you're my friend, because if you weren't, it's why she's like a bug. No, he's a big guy. Now his wife is telling me, help my husband understand what's going on right now. I said, well, Joyce, you're going to have to help me understand what's going on. And she said something like this. She said, death is not my master, and there ain't no grave that's going to hold me down. You sing that song. Remember that, Marcy? Ain't no grave going to hold body. You're in Christ. There ain't no grave going to hold your body down. I know many of you have been around a while. See the prayers you remember. And so she that was her song. Death cannot hold me down, because the first fruit of the resurrection guarantees that I too shall rise. Tell Jim that I'm not here. He's standing right next to me. She said, tell Jim I'm not here. And then she said, well, I am here. here, but I'm not fully here. And she said, I am in the presence of God right now. And yet I'm sort of here with you all as well. Somehow in the body, I'm losing vision for the earth, but I'm gaining vision for my new home, as she is sharing. As heaven becomes more and more real, things of this earth are becoming less real. It is my time to go. It's my time to go. I was thinking about that morning. Over my years ministry, I've heard some pastors say, if there's anything else you can do other than the ministry, then by all means do it. Let me tell you, I have loved pastors. And the times I've been with saints when they're getting ready to go home to glory. Now, I'll tell you, Terry, John went really fast. In fact, John was telling me, I'm going home. I'm healed. He went home, didn't he? He just went to a different home. We thought he was going home with Terry and going to be raised up there. Dead. John was being healed permanently and going home to glory. And I think about all of the different ones who, as they approach their last breath, how the strength, anointing, precious, present God is there with them at that time. I was thinking of Blanche Kinney, where I believe it was four angels came to see her mom. Those angels said to her mother, you need to get ready for the wedding. The wedding is coming. You need to get ready. Blanche came home. Her mom's there. Agnes Reining. I remember her as if she was sitting in church this morning. And Agnes is saying, I have to get ready. The four men, they came. They told me it's time for the wedding. And sure enough, they took Agnes Reining on home to glory, and she was celebrating all the way. We have no fear of death. No fear of death. I don't like the process. In the ambulance after I'd been declared dead, I don't even know what I said, but I remember what one of the attendants said. He said, how can you be joking at a time like this? I didn't know I was joking. I don't even know what I said. I just know, though there's been 7, maybe 8, maybe 9 to 10 times where I have been seconds away from glory. I'll tell you this, every time I had the peace of God that passeth all under. The resurrection is so important. That day as I'm laying, I'm bleeding, I'm in the road on US-1, the ambulance crew left, cops, they all declared that I was dead. They walked away. But a group, I thought I was in heaven. I thought these were angels. I could hear people singing. I could hear people praying. I thought for sure I was in heaven. And I heard people praying in a heavenly language that I received in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I thought for sure I'm no longer here. I heard them say, it's a shame he's gone. And then I hear all of these sounds from heaven. I didn't know what was taking place. But months later, a lady would call the office from way out of state. Said, I'm trying to find the pastor that was spoken of being dead in the road. Is this the pastor? And the receptionist said, yep, that's our pastor. That's Pastor Jonathan. I have talked to him. The lady said, my husband and I and our family, we were going to, I think it was Lord Chumley's pub that was over on the water. We were going to the restaurant for lunch, and we saw the accident and saw you laying in the road. We parked our car and we got out and went over. And as we arrived, other people just started coming from all around until there was a circle all the way around you laying in the street on US-1. And someone began to sing, and someone began to pray, and someone began to sing in the Spirit, and someone began to pray in the Spirit. And she said, I just wanted to call you and let you know that I was there just in case you didn't know what was going on. I believe that all heaven rejoices, yes, when a soul comes to Jesus, but I believe all heaven rejoices when a saint goes home as well.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
You cannot win the spiritual battle with partial obedience. You cannot win the spiritual fight with a temporary obedience. You can only win with a total and unconditional obedience to God as He's revealed in the Word of God.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear